Hello again, and welcome to Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Lita.
I'm still Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX.
And on today's show, we're talking about something that touches every one of our lives, even if you don't always realize it. It's the importance of health and human services.
That's right. Whether it's vaccinations, disaster response, mental health programs, or public hospitals, Health and Human Services, or HHS, keeps the wheels turning when it comes to public health and welfare.
And when it's working well.
And well-funded.
And when it's working well.
And well-funded.
You might not even notice it. Kind of like good Wi-Fi signal. But you miss it most when it's gone.
So the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services was officially created in 1953, but its roots actually go back even earlier. Originally, health programs were part of the old Department of Education and Welfare.
And in other countries, I picture, you know, like the vaccinations in Russia for, you know, and things like that. Like that was early before the U.S. The HHS today isn't just one agency. It's a giant umbrella that with more than a dozen divisions that are currently being cut. Think CDC, FDA, NIH, Medicare, Medicaid. It's basically the Avengers of public health. The whole team.
Yeah, I really like
the Avengers.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what the Avengers is?
No.
So speaking of knowing, you think we should tell our listeners what all these acronyms stand
for? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Food and Drug Administration, and the National Institute of Health.
Okay.
And their mission.
Yes.
Should they decide to.
That's a different thing, but okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Protect the health of all Americans and provide essential services, especially to those least able to help themselves. So not a small job.
No, it is not. And each agency plays a very unique role. For example, the National Institute of Health, the NIH, they focus on biomedical research. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, they regulate medications and food safety. And
no idea.
Thank you. SAMHSA, I'm not even going to guess, supports mental health and substance abuse programs.
And so it's all these organizations work together like a finely tuned orchestra, or at least when they're funded and functioning properly, they would. Otherwise, it's like an out-of-tune fourth-grade orchestra where you want your, you know, to bring some earplugs just in case.
So it's really interesting that we're talking about this now because mm-hmm. there are people out there that think that government health programs cost too much.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of studies out there are showing that the benefits actually far outweigh mm-hmm. the costs of these programs.
Right.
For example,
kind of like saying, you know, helmets, are they really worth it?
Right.
Yeah.
Or supporter cups, are they really worth
right.
it?
Right. No,
I wear it for prevention because injury that you might have if you don't wear it or don't use it outweighs the risk.
For example, vaccinations funded by HHS,
Health and Human Services.
Yes, ma'am. Save the U.S., United States, about $68 billion annually in healthcare costs, lost productivity, and also disability.
That's a
vaccinations? Vaccinations save the U.S. Yeah. about $68 billion every year?
Yeah.
In healthcare costs, lost productivity, and disability?
That is exactly
what he just said. Yes.
That's amazing.
And programs like Medicare and Medicaid help keep millions of people out of poverty, especially seniors and children. And a healthier population also means a stronger economy.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people can't see the forest for the
trees. Mother, move on.
Plus, emergency services to things like hurricanes, pandemics, and bioterrorism threats.
Yep. Yeah.
That's Health and Human Services, too. You don't want to find out what happens when nobody's in charge.
Yeah, that's...
Because we're just coming out of a pandemic.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the COVID-19 response, for instance, have you heard of Operation Warp Speed?
No.
Anita?
No.
Okay. So it was a partnership between HHS, again, Health and Human Services, and the Department of Defense, actually. They helped to accelerate vaccine development and distribution, something that usually takes many, many years. They were able to do that in just months to get the vaccine to people.
Okay. And I guess I did see it. I didn't know it was called Operation Warp
Speed. Okay.
Because I thought that was from another TV show. And it wasn't perfect, but it was historic. And it showed how critical public health coordination really is when the clock is ticking.
But a fun fact here.
Sure.
Did you know that access to good health and social services, it's actually linked to lower crime rates?
Yes, because I read Freakonomics.
Okay.
Exactly. Studies show that when people have access to health care, mental health support, substance abuse treatment, and basic needs like food and housing, crime rates tend to drop.
Turns out healthy, stable people are a lot less likely to end up desperate or in crisis. Shocking, right?
Mm. And I'm sorry, crime rates are up? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
So programs like HHS-funded community clinics and behavioral health centers, they don't just save lives. They help create safer neighborhoods, too.
Okay.
So each year, HH agencies like the CDC, NIH, and the previously mentioned SAMHSA, they manage hundreds of millions of cases from disease outbreaks, mental health emergencies, to disaster response.
In 2023 alone, HHS administered over $1.4 trillion in programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and the Children's Health Insurance Program.
That's trillion with a T. No pressure, guys.
So let's try to give that some scale.
Mm-hmm.
Medicaid alone, that covers more than 85 million Americans, roughly one in four people in the U.S.
Wow. So if you cut Medicaid, 85 million people
will not have health care.
Wow.
Yep. And countries that lack strong public health systems, well, they tend to struggle with higher infant mortality rates, shorter life expectancies, and higher rates of preventable diseases.
And during crises like pandemics or natural disasters, they often are hit harder and the recovery rate is much slower.
It's kind of like trying to build a house in a hurricane with no blueprints and no tools. Good luck with that.
So you can see the difference clearly when comparing global responses to COVID-19 countries with coordinated health services. They fared far better than those without.
Right. I mean, I look at like New Zealand, where they had, you know, after a while, they had no new cases of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And even beyond crises, there are countries who suffer with routine care, like limited prenatal services, poor vaccine access, and chronic disease going untreated. And, you know, that diseases don't know what a border is, so that can spread. So supporting other countries and their public health and health outreach programs is vital to keeping our country healthy as well.
Right. But just know that no system is, you know, 100% perfect.
Sure.
Right. So the bureaucratic red tape, budget cuts, political fights, and disparities in access can all complicate how well Health and Human Services programs actually work.
And let's be honest, navigating insurance or government websites can feel like you're running a marathon in flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. But despite the complications, the goal remains critical, keeping people alive, healthy, and thriving.
That said, there's ongoing work to improve HHS operations through better technology, more inclusive research, and partnerships with community-based organizations. A huge part of HHS's work is preventative care, things like vaccines, cancer screening, heart health programs and mental health support.
And that's because stopping a disease before it starts is a whole lot cheaper and less traumatic than, you know, treating it after the fact.
Yes. Think of it like a regular oil change for your body. Ignore it long enough and you're calling the tow truck.
But prevention also includes efforts like anti-smoking campaigns, obesity prevention initiatives, suicide awareness programs, all which are backed by public health research. And actually, another part of prevention is nutrition, a healthy diet. That's one of the most powerful ways to prevent heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and certain cancers.
Yeah, and if you're concerned about, you know, children's IQ, instead of cutting the fluoride, providing them with healthy, nutritious meals from a young age can make a big difference. I mean, and proven to make a big difference. And it turns out that you are what you eat. And that isn't just something that our grandmothers made up to scare us away from candy bars.
Oh, no. The Department of Health and Human Services, along with the USDA, publishes the Dietary Guidelines for Americans every 5 years. These guidelines offer science-backed advice on how to build a healthier plate, like have less processed foods, have more fruits and veggies, have lean proteins, and have more whole grains.
And those that might be living in food deserts, and those are areas where fresh food isn't very easy to find, there are programs working to change that, like community gardens, farmers market nutrition programs, and SNAP Ed education service.
Who kind of all got cut recently. Plus, nonprofits like Wholesome Wave and the Food Trust are helping to create farmers markets and healthy food programs where they're needed the most.
Because honestly, no kid should have to choose between dinner and dessert because the nearest grocery store is 15 miles away and they only sell Twinkies.
And it's not just about eating healthy once in a while. Good nutrition supports stronger immune systems, better mental health, and a longer, higher quality of life. Not bad for a few extra servings of broccoli, I think.
Yeah, not bad. In other words, giving people access to apples instead of apple-flavored candy or apple juice, it's kind of a big deal.
Right, right. So looking ahead, Health and Human Services will be focused on health equity, modernizing technology, and preparedness for future pandemics and climate-related disasters.
There's also a push towards telehealth expansion, mental health accessibility, and healthcare for underserved rural areas.
Well, yeah, rural areas have always been.
And
hopefully a future where navigating public health services is a little less like solving a Rubik's Cube blindfolded.
There's also interest in expanding mobile health units, digital vaccine passports, and AI-based tools for managing chronic conditions. Innovation is not optional. It is the future of effective care.
You know, Paul Simon started a mobile health unit in New York.
Oh, nice.
The Children's Healthcare Health Fund.
Right.
They have buses that go around to neighborhoods that aren't served, and the bus is kind of equipped with, you know, X-ray and cam tables. And
Yeah. That's great. Well, yeah, I I've read the research, and, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but it seems like I'd rather put funding into healthcare and preventative health things than a jail.
Yeah.
So, you know, provide people with the proper tools because, like you were saying, you know, it's hard to build a house without your blueprints. You need these things to have a healthy, stable,
life. A well-balanced human.
Yeah. And just keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. We're not out to solve the world's problems, but we're hoping that we provide you information so that you can make informed decisions. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or a treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast. The views and opinions of the guests and hosts, especially the hosts on the show, do not necessarily reflect the views of Podcast DX.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast DX. Stay healthy and maybe give a silent thank you to the people quietly keeping society glued together.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you. We think you definitely should have a job and job security, and you're making a huge difference in all of our lives.
Yes. And I would like to thank a group called FeedSpot, because FeedSpot has selected us to be panelists as one of the top 60 healthcare podcasts on the web.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Okay.
So we'll be hearing from them in the future.